Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Mem Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Beis Mem Beis Amin Aleph for the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Mafkid Mos Eitzel Chaveroi. If somebody asks somebody else to watch something that belongs to him, if it's Tzaron, and the person put this object, this money to watch, that he was asked to wash in his garment, v'shilan l'chayrav, and he put that garment behind him, and then they got and then the money got stolen. Oy shemasan b'nayil b'tei k'tanim, or he gave the money to his young children, v'nayil b'fneim shloi k'roi, and he didn't properly close up the place where this money was going to stay. Chayiv, in all situations, if this were to happen, then the person, the shomer will be chayiv. Why? Shloshimer k'derech hashomerim. He didn't watch it properly, as people who are supposed to watch something are supposed to do. V'mshimer k'derech hashomerim. If on the other hand he did watch these, put them away in the proper way, potter, he won't be chayiv. So Rashi explained that the way to understand the case of the Mishnah is that he gave the money to his young children to watch, and he closed the door, but the knob of name Shloi Kroi means that he closed the door, but he didn't close the door properly. So in other words, the Mishnah is referring to one case. He gave the money to his children to watch, but he didn't close up the home properly, and since he didn't close up the home properly, that's why what happened. But there are other Rishayim. The Ramban says that there are two halachas in the Mishnah. One is that he asked his young children to watch these objects. And since he asked his young children to watch these objects, young children are never qualified to watch something. And then there's another halacha that nothing to do with children. Just that he put something away and he didn't put it away to be watched in the proper place, that's why he's going to be held responsible. So according to that, the Mishnah is teaching about two cases, and according to Rashi, it's speaking about one case. But the Mishnah says, "When Shimon Kederach Hashomrim, then he's Potter." So of course, the Rishonim ask, if he did what he was supposed to do, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that he's not Chayiv? Says the Tzaddik Yisrael, even if one can make an argument, that the case of the Mishnah is speaking about a case where one can make an argument what he did was inadequate. But even though one can make the argument that what he did is inadequate, but he did what everybody does, that is enough of a reason for him to be Potter. As long as he's Shomer k'derech hashomerim, he watched the way normally people watch such an situation, that's enough to be Potter. Begins the Gemara. Bishlam Akula, and all the cases that we understand why he's obligated, Shloshim Kederach Hashomrim. He didn't watch this object properly. But ask the Gemara, El Tzarm Evshin Lachayrov, in a case where he put it behind him, why is he Chayiv, my Havel Mehmed, what should he have done? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amakra, the Pasuk says, with Sarta Kasev B'yotcha. From here we learn, the Afapi Shimon Tzurin, even though you have the money tied in a garment, it has to be Yi B'yotcha. And the Rosh says, it doesn't, when it says here, Yi B'yotcha, it doesn't mean that it has to be actually in your hand. What it means to be, it has to be in a case that it has to be put away in a way that you could constantly know what's going on with them. I saw other Rishonim say it has to be in a place that on the quick examination you'll see what is the status. Rav Yitzchak, La'olam yekas b'shal adam matza b'yaday. A person should always have cash available. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'tzarta kesa b'yotcha. What we're learning here from here is that a person who should always be ready for a for a business opportunity, and therefore he should have cash available. But I saw another pshat, that the many people that don't have money, they don't have control over their money. But on the contrary, what happens is that the money is what controls them, and their entire life is run by trying to attain money and trying to live up to the money. I saw that the Balaturim says, the Pasuk says, Sulam Mutzav Arsha Roisha Magia Shemaima. Sulam is Begematria Mammon. When we think about a sulam, when we think about a ladder, you could go up the ladder and you could go down to the ladder. And what the Pasuk is teaching us is that money could be a vehicle to go up, and money could be a vehicle to go down. It matters how you use that money. And that's what Agamar is teaching us as well. The money should be biyotcha. You should be the one that has control over the money, and not chas v'sholem the other way around. A person should divide, the Pashup Shah and the Gemara, he should divide his money into three parts. Shlish Bekarka, a third of the money, there's two pshatim. One pshat is that he should hide it in the ground, safe, as the Gemara says, we're going to learn, Ksofim Elam Shmir El Bekarka, the safest place to put your money is in the ground. Shlish Bekarka Matya, a third should be devoted to business. And Shlish Tachas Yadoi, and a third should be available, like we just learned. A person should have his money always available. The Rabbi Chanan used to quote the Chofetz Chaim, who used to say that in a person's life, a person has to make decisions. But he doesn't know what is the right decision. And when he doesn't know what to do, he doesn't know where to turn. And the Chofetz Chaim used to say that a person always has the opportunity to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. A person has available to us the Torah. And when we, in the Torah, all the answers to all the questions that we have in life are found in the Torah. And therefore, said Rabbi Chanan, the same like our Gemara, people, Baruch Hashem, have money, but they don't know exactly how to invest their money, what to do with the money. And our Gemara tells us exactly what to do. A person, Yashlish Adam Es Ma'yisav. The Gemara is saying that what should a person do with his money? He should divide it. He should divide it in three. And when he divides it into three, that's the proper way of investing your money. It's right here in the Gemara. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak, Ein a bracha mitzuya. We don't find bracha el bedava sami min ayin. Only by something that we don't see. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Jitan Hashem has bracha basamecha. Something basamecha means covered up, blind. There's many pshatim. Why? One pshat is that something that is not visible is there's no ayin hara. Another pshat is a simple pshat that if something is not visible, then nobody knows about it. And once nobody knows about it, then there's no concern that people may chas v'sholem come to steal that money from you because nobody knows about it. Says the Gemara Tana Rav Shmuel, Ein a bracha mitzuya, there is no bracha, Ela bedavash ein ayin shlotis boy. Something that isn't visible to the eye, Shenema yitin Hashem as itchas a bracha v'asamecha. So the Mefarshim discuss, is there a machlokes? We just had two different statements about not making the money visible. So some Mefarshim suggest that there's really no machlokes between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Shmuel. They're just learning their halachas from different place. However, the Ben Yoyada suggests that there is a machlokes. Says the Ben Yoyada, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, all you need to have is that it shouldn't be visible. All you need to do is cover up your money, make it not visible. But the fact that other people may be aware about the money that you have, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that is not considered an issue. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not adequate that you should just cover up, that just conceal your money. You have to do much more than that. You have to make sure that nobody, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that nobody even knows about the bracha. Because, as Rabbeinu Bechayev explains, today lahiris, a person is supposed to live a life that nobody knows where what he has, and just it's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral in the Nesiv HaVoida says, the famous Gemara, Chazal, Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, says, HaRoish Lahashir, if somebody wants to be wealthy, Yatzpin. So Posh Pshat, everybody understands that what Yatzpin means is you go to the north. He explains that Yatzpin does not mean going to the north. Rather, he explains Yatzpin means he should cover. Yatzpin is tzofen, to hide. If somebody wants to be matzlich with his money, Yatzpin, he should hide them. The Medrash says that the word for assets often used in Shas is nechassim. What is the definition of nechassim, says the Medrash? Shnechnosim mizeh v'nigla mizeh. So it leaves some people, it's covered up from some people, and it's revealed to other people. So the Chiddush Arim asks, if that's the case, why are they called nechassim? They should be called niglim. So he says that Al Gemara is the answer. The Gemara is saying that how do you want, a person has nechassim, a person has assets. How is a person able to hold on to those assets? The way to hold on to those assets is by nechassim, by a person keeping those assets hidden. If a person is able to keep those assets hidden, that's the way nechassim, that he will be able to have keep, hold on to those nechassim. Tarabaram, ha'hoylech lomad es groinoi. If somebody goes to measure his warehouse, what was his yield this year? Omer, he says, Yiratzoim v'fenach Hashem alkeinu shetishlach brocha b'mas yedeinu. Machlokes rishonim, Rashi in the Ritvar of the opinion that you say this tefillah, this brocha, b'shem humalchus. However, the Levush says that we should say it not with shame humalchus. The brocha is said before we go to measure. After we measure it, of course, all the Rishonim explain that it's a tefillah shav. Once you already measured it, it is what it is. Furthermore, the Ritva says that actually it would be probably better not to measure, because as we're learning, ein habracha mitzuya ela b'dava asomim min ayin, the best is something which is not visible. But here, as he explains, the Gemara is teaching us why we are measuring it. Because here, as the Gemara says, ha'hoylech lomid, he has to measure for Trumas HaMaisris. Since he's going to have to measure for Trumas HaMaisris, so he has to have the exact count. So since he has to have the exact count, that's why he has to measure it, but he makes this bracha. But if, on the other hand, as we just said, modad, if he first measures v'akach berich and then he makes the bracha, it's too late. Harezat tefillah shav. L'fisha enem baruchah metzuya, you can't find the bracha, loy b'davar money, not loy b'davar modad, not loy b'davar shokol, not with something which is weighed, loy b'davar modad, not with something which is measured, loy b'davar money, not with something which is counted, ela b'davar samim min ayin, something which is not visible. That's the only way that we could, that's the only way that we could be zoch to bracha. Shenema, Yitzav Hashem itchas ha-bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us bracha ba'as samecha, only by something that's not seen. And only then, when we have bracha on something that's not seen, there we could have bracha. In fact, up to the point that I saw that the Mefarshim discuss if somebody goes to a tzaddik and the tzaddik gives him a bracha, or if somebody has a good dream, the Sefer Chassidim says, "In bechaloyim amru besura tov l'adam." If somebody has a good dream and he was told good news, Ayam Eliyahu Hanavi, or he had a vision from Eliyahu Hanavi, from a malach, Leigalil Ishtai, he shouldn't even tell his wife. Shehi Tagid Lacherim, Shema Tagid Lacherim, we need to be concerned she'll maybe repeat this. Vein Regil Nas Spigoli. The best thing is to keep Nisim quiet. And the same thing, the Minchas Elazar in his Sefer Divrei Torah, where he quotes the story with Eliyahu and the Shunamis and the Elisha and the Shunamis, that Elisha was Mechai Mesim, a son. She didn't even tell her husband what had happened, because the concern of giving over the concern of telling it, making public, is so complicated, and it could have such serious repercussions. Says the Gemara Mishmul, Ksafim, when we speak about cash, Eilam Shmir El Bekarka. The best place to put cash, that it should be safe, is Bekarka. The Sefer told us, Adam, says the Ksafim, if a person has Ksufim, Ksufim means that he has desires. If a person has desires and he starts wanting to have what really is not necessary or not required, how is he able to control those desires? Ksufim, those desires to have what is not necessary, and Ela Bekarka, to remember that we all will end up in the Karka after 120 years, and what's the point? Digris Moshe, and Chayse Mishpat, Chelik Beis, Simen and Gimel, that Bizman HaZeh, the best thing to do is to put money in the bank. He says, what our Gemara says, Ksofim Ein Lam Shmir El Bekarka, the way that is accomplished, Bizman HaZeh, is by putting money in the bank. The pasuk says, by Yosef, V'hi ma'oz hifkar itay bebeisoy v'kol ha'shaloi, from when Potiphar appointed Yosef to be the administrator of everything in his house, V'yivarach Hashem espeis ha'mitzri b'glal Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a bracha to the home of Yosef, mitzri called Yosef, V'hi brachas Hashem b'chol sheyesh lo b'bayis u'b'soda. And then the pasuk says afterwards, V'yazav kol ha'shaloi v'yad Yosef, he left everything in Yosef's hands. So the question is, what does the pasuk teach us? The second pasuk. The pasuk already says that Potiphar appointed Yosef to be in charge of everything. So I saw that the Gemara we just learned said, "Ein abrocha mitzui abadava suma ayin." That's what. So the pasuk says, you know why Yosef was so matzliach? Because nobody knew what Yosef had. Yosef was extremely careful to keep it very low key. And when you keep it low key, then the halacha is you have no. Then you're going to have bracha. The medrash, the Sefer Avi Nachal quotes the medrash. The medrash says, "Lama kano enof shel Yitzchak." Why do we find that Yitzchak Vinu unfortunately became blind? In order that Yaakov should come and be able to take the brachas. And the pasuk says, by Yaakov also, before he gave the bracha to the Shvatim, Layucha Lirois. Why did the Torah, explains the Avi Nachal, teach us that Yaakov and Yitzchak weren't able to see? Because only when it's Sami Menayin, only when he was blind and not able to see, ein bracha mitzuya, then and only then can bracha be given. And in fact, he continues to say that Bilam, who ended up being the one that gave bracha to Klal Yisrael, the pasuk says about Bilam that he was shesum ha'ayin. He was a person that couldn't see, because only a person who cannot see is such a person that is able to give bracha. So I saw that the Sefer Shaar Yisachar points out that when it comes to Avodas Hashem, there are two ways to do Avodas Hashem. One is to do it publicly, and that's how people will learn from you. And the other way is to do it quietly, as we're learning in our Gemara. And that's what we say by the Seder. Tzofen Baruch, Halal Nitzra. Tzofen, as we said earlier, Tzofen means to be hidden. That's one way of bracha, of bringing bracha into our lives. By Tzofen, by keeping everything quiet. Halal, but there's another way. If we say Halal, and Halal, as we know, is generally said in public, and it's said with great fanfare. That's also a way for Nirtza. These are two different approaches in an Avodas Hashem. The Pasuk says the Sefer Likutei Yehuda, that Yaakov, when came to divide his family, the Yachetz Asa'am, he also, his goal was to keep everything very low key. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, or Maida Shmuel. Shmuel is Maida. As much as we're learning that a person should put away his money, Be'erev Shabbos Be'erev Shmashas, that if money was brought to him right before Shabbos, the Leitruchur Rabbanon, Chazal did not make you hide the money, because it's right before Shabbos. And as all the Rishonim point out, the Rosh and others explain, we're not speaking, when the Gemara says that the money was brought by Be'erev Shmashas, it doesn't mean that it was brought exactly by Be'erev Shmashas. Because during the time of Be'erev Shmashas, you're not allowed to dig. So there's no chiddush that you're not allowed to dig. What it means is that if the money was brought to you right before Be'erev Shmashas, so since the money was brought to you right before Be'erev Shmashas, so you're ready in a time where you have to start thinking and preparing for Shabbos. Since you're at a time that you have to start thinking and preparing for Shabbos, that's why the halacha is that even though Shmuel just taught us that one should put away his money in the karka, in the floor, on the ground, now is not the time that we could expect somebody to do so. V'mshal l'matzah Shabbos. And now, let's say, now it's Matzah Shabbos, and Matzah Shabbos is the time that you already could hide the money. V'mshal l'matzah Shabbos, shir l'mikvirinu, v'loy kivirinu. If you wait in Matzah Shabbos enough time that you should be able to bury the money, and you still didn't do so, mechayiv. Then you're already responsible, because now you have no excuse why you didn't put away the money. However, says the Gemara, v'tzurva me'abonahu, if the person who asked you to watch the money is a Talmud Chacham, and since the person who asked you to watch the money is a Talmud Chacham, there you don't have to put the money away immediately. Because savar, I always have to be concerned that maybe this person is going to be coming for his money, and since he's going to be coming for his money, I need to have the money available for him, because he needs the money to buy what he needs to have for Havdalah. The other pshat that the Rambam learns is the other way. The Rambam says that we're speaking here not about the person whose money it is. We're speaking here about the person who's watching the money. And if the person who's watching the money is a Talmud Chacham, and since he's a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't do anything before he makes Havdalah. So the halacha is that then he should, if that's the case, then he should wait to put away the money. It's understandable that he needs to have time to make Havdalah. But this is a very interesting question. Our Gemara says that we have to give him time to make Havdalah. What's going to be the halacha? Do we have to give him time also to eat Lava Malkum? Because the Mishnah Berurah says that the proper thing besides to, of course, one has to eat Lava Malkum, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's a minig toiv. It's a good minig to eat Lava Malkum as soon as Shabbos is over. The closer to Shabbos is over, that's appropriate to Lava Malkum. But, say the Paiskim, that it's a minig toiv. The halacha that one should make Havdalah immediately, and only after making Havdalah can he do Malacha. That's the Halacha. However, because as I saw the Paiskim say, I saw a Tshuva from the close of Magareba, Eirachayim Simen Kumf Lamadvav, they were concerned that if a person is going to do Malacha before he does Havdalah, he may forget to do Havdalah. But eating Av Malka, as much as it is so important to eat Mava Malka, and it shows, I saw all the Paiskim say, by eating Mava Malka, you show how important Shabbos is to you, as the Machzor Vitri says, Mashal B'nei Medina, it's comparable to people of a country, Havamavim as a Melech, B'koilus V'kinarim V'nevolim, that they escort the king away with tremendous fanfare, with music. Kach Yisrael Malavin as a Shabbos, Shimalka B'simcha V'shirim, eating Mava Malka shows our tremendous respect for Shabbos. Still, it isn't required that you can't do any malacha before the Mlava Malka. And in fact, Reb Moshe Sternbach, in the Sefer Tshuvas van Hoggis, Chelik Beis Sim Kuf Samach Vav, says that the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, was so makban Mlava Malka. He says that there was once a situation that it was Motzoi Shabbos, and the Gra was very ill, and he couldn't eat anything, and he had to go to sleep. As soon as he woke up, he still wasn't 100% better. But he said, he asked his family members if they could please take a piece of bread and make it into crumbs and put it into his mouth, that he at least should have something from Av Malka. Moreover, the Paiskim say that Av Gemara says that if it's Matzoi Shabbos and you have the money, and Rashi's Pshat is that if you're concerned that the person who left with you the money really needs that money to buy Havdalah, so then the halacha is you shouldn't hide the money until you know that he comes to pick up the money for Havdalah, or you know that he made Havdalah. So says, say to Paiskim, if you know that the person who left the money with you is a wealthy individual, and since he's a wealthy individual, then he certainly has more than enough to make Mlava Malka, to make Havdalah, then you don't have the excuse that you're waiting for him to bring the money needs the money for Havdalah. You know that he has plenty of money besides this money to make Havdalah, and then you should put the money away as soon as you can. Moreover, here we're learning the importance of making Havdalah, and therefore the Paiskim discuss what about, here we're saying that maybe the person needs to make Havdalah. Apparently, in those times, the minig was that they made Havdalah in shul. And still, from here the Paiskim extrapolate that it's better to make Havdalah by yourself than to make Havdalah and be yotze through Shemaya Ka'ina. There's a point to make Havdalah itself. Presumably the reason is, as we're learning, Havdalah represents how we're showing respect for Shabbos. And that should be shown by everybody making their own Havdalah, not relying on the Havdalah that's being recited by somebody else. Says the Gemara, however, nowadays we have people that constantly are trying to check the money, check the ground, if there's money borrowed on the ground, then hiding the money on the ground is not the right way to do it. The right way to do it is put the money up to the ceiling. But as says the Gemara, even that, there are people that break the ceiling to see if there's any money hidden there. Einlam Shmira, the best place to put the money is Beine Urbay, between the bricks of the wall of the house. Omarava, Umayda Shmuel Bekaisel, the halach is that you don't have to put it between the bricks, you could put it into the wall itself. But however, says the Gemara, Vidna the Shchicha Tufchayi, now you have people that were able to touch the wall, and therefore by touching the wall, they'll be able to determine if there's money hitting there. Elahem Shmira, the best place to hide the money is Elabatefach HaSamach B'Karka, by a tefach closest to the ground, or a tefach samach l'shmei kaira. That's not the place. When it's not really very underground, they won't be able to find it. And when it's not in the ceiling, they won't be able to find it. It says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Yosef l'Ravashi. Hosam Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base teaches us, Chamet Shnafel of Mepoilis, if a rubble fell on top of your chametz, Harayim Kumavolor, it's considered as if it's gone, and there's no chiv of bedikas chametz under that rubble. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, what is the shear that it's considered so concealed under the rubble that there is no chiv of bedikas chametz? Kol she'ena kelev yochel chapas akrav. If it's so under the ground, that dog won't be able to smell it out. V'tana, kama chafisas kelev, what is that shear? Shloisha tfachim. If there's over three tfachim, if it's buried more than by three tfachim, they can't be, it won't be found. Hachamai, what will be the halacha regarding hiding money? How deep in the ground must one hide his money? Maybe in shlosh tfachim is the requirement that you should put a three tfachim underground oiloi or not. Amalei hasam, we can't compare the halacha of a shomer, says the Gemara, to the halacha of chametz. Hasam, where we speak about that case, b'shemrecha, we're concerned that if it's in a way that the dog could smell the chametz. Once it's in a place that the dog could smell the chametz, there is a concern that the dog will come and dig out the chametz, and then you'll find the chametz on Pesach. Hacha, but when we speak about shomrim, the point is a very different point. Hacha, m'shemachsuya me'inan. We just don't want it to be visible. And therefore, lo be'inan, we don't need it to be dug into a depth of shlosh tfachim. So ask the Gemara Kama, how much is necessary? Says the Gemara, Amar Rafa Misichram, the shear, how much you should dig it, is a tefach. And not only is it a tefach, but as the Mepharshim point out, based on the Gemara that we just learned, not only is it a tefach, maybe it should only be a tefach. Because if it's going to be more than a tefach, it may be more discernible than when it's less than a tefach. Says the Gemara, there was somebody that left money by somebody else to watch. And the shomer put the money in a hut that was made out of a rava, ignav, and it was stolen. Amar of Yosef, even though as far as ganovim is concerned, it's considered a valid place. It's considered acceptable to put it there, because that's not a place where ganovim will easily find it. But Nura, as far as a fire, since a hut made out of arava is extremely prone to fire, so therefore the inyan nura pshiyosehu, and therefore this becomes a case of tchilas b'pshia v'soifa b'oynus, and therefore chayiv, because now the Gemara introduces the concept. What will be if I started with a pshia? We're speaking the way Rashi explains, with a shaymechinam. A shaymechinam is only chayiv with pshia. So leaving it here was a pshia. But what happened at the end that it was stolen, he was an oinus. And the Gemara says it's chayiv. Says the Gemara, v'ikadam afgad v'linyan nur pshia sahu. As far as fire is concerned, he indeed was a pshia. He was negligent, putting it in a place which is so likely or possible to get burnt. However, Linyan Ganavi, as far as being a place that will be stolen from the Tirusahi, it's considered properly watched, and therefore it falls into the category of Tchilas v'Pshia v'Saif Bainus, and this opinion holds that Tchilas v'Pshia v'Saif Bainus is Potter. However, says the Gemara, the Hilchus Daloch is that Tchilas v'Pshia the Saif Ba'inus is actually Chayiv. Says the Taisus that's only in such a case that if you put it in a place where it could really get burnt, and if you would have put it somewhere else, then it wouldn't be open, it wouldn't be prone to fire, and Ganovim wouldn't have found it either. That's where it's considered Chalos B'Pshia V'Soifa B'Oinus Chayiv. But says Tosfos, if the Pshia and the Oinus have no connection, and Tosfos gives an example. If you put it like in this place, you put an animal, for example, in such a hut. So the animal put in the hut, it's considered a Pshia because it could get burnt. And what happened was, it didn't, that's not what happened. What happened was that the animal died by itself. So since the halacha is that under those circumstances that the animal died by itself, so it could have as easily died in the, it could have as easily died in the house where you were watching it properly as if you would have died, if you would have, if it would have died in the hut. So the pshia and the oinus are entirely not connected. It's such a case, Tosfos says, that even though the Gemara is saying that halacha is t'chlasa b'shia, the seifa b'oinus is chayiv, this is not considered such a circumstance. And in such a case, says Tosfos, you will not be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Hahu gavri d'afkad zuzi gabi chavri. There was somebody who left money with somebody else. Amalei havli zazoi, and not a person whose money was left with the shomer came and asked for his money. Amalei, he said to him, Lo yadana heches finu. I don't remember where I put it. And the Meiri says, there's a very, what does this mean? It doesn't mean that I don't remember where I put it, and therefore maybe I didn't put it in a place that's considered a place that it's safely put away. Or what happens if he says, I remember I put it in a safe place. I just don't remember what where that place is. Is that also, how does the halacha look at that place? So there's a machloika. Certainly if the person says, I don't remember if I put it in a safe place, then he's responsible. But if he says, I know I put it in a safe place, I just don't remember where that safe place is, that is a question how to look at it. Also, Kamei de Rava, this question was brought to Rava. Amalei, and he said, Kol Yodana, certainly in a case where a person doesn't remember if he put it in a safe place, that is considered a Pshiosahi, and Zil Shalem, he's going to be responsible. Says the Gemara, Hu Gavad Afkad Zuzi Gavi Chamri. There was somebody that left money by somebody else, Ashleminu Le'ime, and he gave it to his mother to watch, the Svinabakat Lusoi, and the money, and the mother put it into a box, into a drawer, that she was always, that's where she always kept her money, Vignav, and it got stolen from there. Amar Rava, so now Rava said, Heiched Nadeinu Dayana L'Haidina. We need to analyze, how should we look at this situation? Lamele today, should we say to the Shomer that you're responsible, Zil Shalem, that you're responsible for the loss? Amar, says the Gemara, why can't he say, Kol ha-mafkid al das ishto yibonav ha-mafkid. When you leave me something, you leave it to me with the understanding that I'm going to ask my family members to watch this. And the Ritva points out that this halacha that the Gemara is saying, that Kol ha-mafkid al das ishto yibonav ha-mafkid, it's only in a case where he's a shomer chinam. A shomer sachar, as we always learn, has a much higher level of responsibility, and included in the higher level of responsibility is that he has to do it. Also, the Rishonim discuss, what does it mean, Adash Ishtoi Banav from Mafkid? He will only be exempt in a case that what happened was a situation that had he had this case, he would also not be responsible. But what happened here was that if it would have been a case that he would have been held responsible, the fact then his family members are also held responsible. Name l'im azil shlimi. On the other hand, go tell the mother that you're responsible. Amr lo emel delav didinenu. He never told me that this wasn't his own money. I thought that this was his money. Dekbirinu. And the way the Rishonim explained, the Ramban explains, is as follows. She thought that the money that she was asked to watch was money that belonged to her son. And she knew her son is in need of cash. And since she knew that her son is in need of cash. That's why she didn't hide it, because she expected her son to come to ask for that cash at any moment. Had she known that this wasn't her son's money, so of course she would have buried it as the halacha requires it. Ella Marava, says the Gemara, Mishtabi Inu, Iud Anizuza Shlemin Elimi, the Shomer has to make a shvua that he gave the money to his mother, and Mishtabi Ime, and the mother swears, the Hani Zuzah Svinabir Katlisa, that she put the money in a place which is expected to be put, that she had a legitimate reason to assume that that is good enough, or potter, and then she will be potter. There's a tshuva, in Digras Moshe, Choshe Mishpat Chelik Bei Sim Lamed Zayin. If a son could take over his father's position, his father has a job, can a son, under certain circumstances, take on the father's job? He speaks about a case where the father is Meshgiach and Kashrus, and the father, for whatever reason, is unable to do what he's supposed to do. Can the son take on his father's responsibility? So Rav Moshe quotes our Gemara. The Gemara says, the Kala Mafkid, if somebody is asked to watch something, Aldas Ishto Yubarifu Mafkid. It's understandable that he's not doing it only by himself, and his family members are included. And therefore, if the children of this father, who's the Mashgiach, are reliable people, then we can rely on them. And Rav Moshe goes on to say that certainly if the child is well known as a reliable person, then the father could send the son. But even if he doesn't know but the father knows he's a reliable person, his son, and the Gemara is saying here that whoever asks somebody to watch something, it's understood that the rest of the family will also be involved in watching this. Since it's understood that the rest of the family will be asked to watch, so they're allowed to do. Rav Moshe does say a few points. One, Rav Moshe says that this not should be on a steady basis. The father was the one that was hired as the Mashgiach, not the son. And then Rav Moshe goes into discussion, what about a wife? Which opens up the question, can a woman be a Mashgiach? Rav Moshe says that a Mashgiach is not considered a position of authority. A Mashgiach is not considered a position of authority that you should be held responsible. In general, what we learn from here is that a person has to be careful where he puts something. So the Paiskim say that if somebody, for example, is asked to watch money, and he goes and he puts the money in his pocket, and then he hangs up his jacket in a coat room in a yeshiva or in a shul, so the halacha is that if that money gets chas v'shalom stolen, the person says, well, I'm a shem mechinam, but hiding it in such a place, putting it in such a place, is considered a pshia. Putting the money in a public place is not considered a valid shmira. On the other hand, if you ask a child to be a shomer, so then the halacha is that the child also is not considered a legitimate shomer, and one cannot hold the child responsible, nor hold the parents of that child responsible if something happens to what he was watching. Because you should have never have asked the child to watch something. And that's why the Paiskim have a very interesting discussion. What happens if a child borrows a book from a library, and then he borrows the book from the library and it gets and he loses it? And can we make the child responsible? And there's a strong argument that you should never have appointed a child as a shomer. Since you should have never appointed a child as a shomer, you can't have any claim to him. There was a person who was appointed to be the administrator of the assets of the Yisoymim, the Zavala Turliasmi, and he bought an axe on behalf of the Yisoymim, or Masri Labakra, and he gave that axe over to a shepherd. And what happened was, whatever Kechav Shina Lamechel, this animal did not have any teeth with which to eat, and therefore, amiss, the animal died because it couldn't eat. Amar Rabbi Bechama, Heichen Nedayin Nedayin L'Haydina. How should Dayanim look at this case? Name Melap Trapezil Shlim, Should we tell the apotropos you're responsible? Amma, he's going to say, and not labakra lamastri. I gave it over to a shepherd. I did what I was supposed to do. Namely, labakra zilshlim. Should we say the shepherds are responsible? Amma, no bahadi turi kimte. I put this axe together with all the other axes. Uchvi shadoiloi, and I put food there. Loi have yedin in the loyachal. And I didn't know it's not going to eat. Michti, says the Gemara, bakra shayma the sach the yasmehuva. The shepherd is getting paid, so he's a shomer socher. And as we learned earlier in our shiur, the level of responsibility of a shomer socher is much greater than the level of responsibility of any other shomer. And therefore, there's a claim to him, Iboy Liliyuna, you should have made sure that the animal's eating. Says the Gemara, Iikab say the diasmi, if the yosomim are going to end up losing, then hachinami, they have a claim. However, Hachav Maiskin, in the case that we are referring to here, is the Lekab Seyed Diyasmi. The Yisayman will not lose out. The Shechinah Lamari the Torah. We're going to find the person who sold the animal, and the Yisayman are going to say to the seller of the animal that it was a Mekach Tos. How did you sell an animal that had no teeth Tos? Shakli Yasim Zuzaminei, they're going to get their money back, says the Gemara. El Man Katon. So if that's the case, that the Yisayim are not losing out, what is the Shaila? Says the Gemara, Mar the Torah Katana. The person who owned the animal says, Iboy Leoduin, you should have known, they say to the apotropos, you should have told us that this animal is missing teeth. Says the Gemara, Mai Medinalei, why do they have to be notified? They know what that the animal that they're selling, maybe the other, they know that the animal that they sold doesn't have two teeth, and it's makach tasu, says the Gemara. You're right. The owner of the animal doesn't have a right to claim, why don't you tell us? You knew by yourself that the animal was missing teeth. But here, the animal was not sold directly from the owner of the animals to the Yisayman, or to their apotropos. It was sold through Safsira. It was sold through a broker. The Zav Mahacha, Mezun Mahacha. They just sell, and they really don't know the status of the animals. Hilchach, Mishtabi Yidolaviyada. The halacha is that the broker swears that he didn't know the animal's missing teeth. Mishalim Bakra, and then the Roya, the shepherd, that now is in the place of the apotropos, has to pay the Meibos of Bazal, has to pay for the cheap price, which is 2/3 of the regular price. Al Gemara here is teaching us the role of a broker. And I saw that Sefer Chashuki Chemed has a discussion, what is the halacha if somebody is a real estate broker and he's involved in the selling of apartment, of real estate? So even though we know that the Gemara we're going to learn is Eina Nolaka Kos, Eina Nolaka Kos means that a person, there's no fixed price for real estate. And even though the halacha always teaches us a price of real estate, and a nolaka kos, that doesn't apply by real estate. But that's not what we're referring here to. Here we're referring to a situation where you know that there's something wrong with this real estate, and it's a mekach tos. And the halacha is that if you're a real estate broker, you're obligated to say. And along the same line, the Sa'al Tzatshuvas Levushe Martche, Chelik Beis Choshe Mishpat Simen Tezvav, says that if somebody is a shatchan, is a matchmaker in a shidduch, he is obligated to notify if he knows that there's something wrong with the boy or the girl, even though he's the shatchan. Part of his obligation is that he's obligated to notify the parties what he knows, and not just say, not just take approach, close my eye. Says the Mar, who gavra? There was somebody who left hops with somebody else. Havalel of the day, Nami carried the Shiksusa. And the Shomer also owned hops. Amle Lasarse, and he told his worker, Mahai Rami, take hops from this batch. Ozl Rami Idach. And he took not from the batch that was owned by the Shomer, but rather he took it from the batch that he was watching. Amr of Amram, Heich Nedaina Daina Lahaidina. namely the day Zilshlem, should we tell the Shomer you have to pay? Amar no, Amri lahai Rami. I didn't do anything wrong. I clearly instructed my worker to take the haps from my haps. Namely Lasar says Zilshlem, should we tell the worker you're responsible? Amali Mahai Rami Mahai Loi Timi. He wasn't explicit in saying take specifically from here and not from there. Says the Gemara, "Vi the Shah Shir Lasuilei Vilayasilei." If the worker took more time than is necessary, that means that the Shomer's haps were closer, and the haps that he was watching were further away. So then he has a legitimate claim. What is the legitimate claim? The owner, the Shomer, should have recognized what's going on here. So it's more about the Shah. That wasn't the situation. Saif, says the Gemara, my Pseidika, why is there any loss? So you use these haps instead of those haps, so you have the same beer. What happened was that the beer got spoiled. Rav Ashamer Bekisi, that the haps, that both haps were not the same quality. And therefore, the haps that were used didn't come out to be good. And therefore, Mishamu de Kisei, and therefore, the difference is, do you have to pay for the loss of the beer not being such good beer? Or do you have to pay because the beer ended up being better beer because they used better haps?